The Undersized Basketball Podcast, talking hoops from coast to coast.
Today we had the chance to catch up with GB basketball captain and Leicester Riders star Drew Sullivan to discuss how the British Basketball League could help develop homegrown talent and ensure that our players in the UK get the best chance to improve by playing in the BBL. Have a listen and let us know what you think of Drew's opinion and the suggestions that Drew's made over the last couple of days. And get in touch with us on Twitter at Tub Podcast and like us on Facebook, The Undersized Basketball Podcast.
Talking hoops from coast to coast.
We're joined today by Drew Sullivan. Thanks for your time with Tub Podcast today, Drew.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, yesterday you released a sort of post on Twitter just about what you'd like to see the BBL change to try and develop home talent. Can you just talk a little bit about what it is you want to see from the BBL and why you think it would be important?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't so much a thing that I was trying to put pressure on the BBL. I think a lot of people, well, I should say very few people, seemed like they were quite, almost, I'd say, upset with me, and I personally wronged them by this wanting to discuss me. You know, it was a discussion. That's what it was. Trying to find out what other people felt. I mean, you know, the first thing I said to is like, I wonder what other people in our community think. Please read and leave comments. Yeah. You know, so it wasn't a thing where I wasn't going on and saying, you know, the BBL are wrong about the way they do things. And, you know, I mean, the BBL has never really essentially done me any wrong. So I have no reason to attack them. Yeah. It was just a thing that, you know, like, you go on, you know, there's WhatsApp and people have discussions on there, but it's not really open to a lot of people because, you know, you have to go to a website. Everyone's got Twitter now, pretty much. So it was an easy way to start a discussion, and then people can read other people's comments and agree or disagree and able to share it with maybe other people instead of having to tell someone, oh, you should go on WhatsApp to read this this forum. So it was the reason why I did it on Twitter was because it was a thing where you could hit a large population of our basketball community at one time. You know, so it wasn't a thing where, like I said, I was trying to attack the BBL. It was a couple of concepts, a couple of ideas that I feel like it should at least be looked at. You know, and did it come to pass? Maybe not, because they may or may not work essentially. But I do think that that we need to have more younger players or more British players who are able to be star attractions in our league. You know, and that's the reason why I started that discussion yesterday.
Okay, and there's leagues in Germany and Russia as well that obviously use that sort of approach to have a set amount of homegrown players on the court at one time. Do you think it's something that's possible in the BBL, and do you think it's something that teams would be willing to adapt to and change their sort of recruitment process to allow for?
Well, the first part of your question, like, I think that it is something that could and should be explored. I think that it will obviously change the way teams do their recruiting with regards to bringing players into their teams. If they know that there's a certain amount of British players that have to be on the court. You know, I think that, you know, and then obviously it becomes a thing where you don't have a bench of seven people. You actually have to maybe extend your bench because, you know, like, if we say that we're going to only have two British players or three British players, well, what happens if that British player needs a rest? You know, you need to bring somebody else on, especially if you're a competitive team, like, you know, like the top four, top five teams who are there or thereabouts every year. They want to continue to be competitive. So what they would do is they will go out and try and get the best British players. And now, you know, the question was, someone said to me on Twitter yesterday, well, you know, just because you're British doesn't mean that you should play. I never said that. At no point in time did I say that if you're British, you should play. I was saying, you know, I didn't. I mean, obviously, clearly, I had to had to add this. I thought it would just be like as common sense would suggest that we're talking about the good players who are able to play at this level, not just random kids who do not have the ability. That's where you maybe have two players on your bench who are younger players who are under 20s or what have you, and they can be around the men's team constantly and learn or what have you. Maybe they don't get much playing time, but we're not talking about those players. We're talking about capable British players who can step on the court and contribute. And I refuse to believe that there isn't enough of those kind of players going around. We boast about how many players that we have at universities across the states now. Now everyone says, well, they went over there and they've got better, and then now they're coming back. But not all of those guys. I'd say a fair amount of those guys were pretty decent players to be able to go over there in the first place and get win scholarships.
Yeah.
You're not gonna be a bad player and go to the states all of a sudden. Within like a year or two, become a good player and then go to university. Like, anyone who believes that is extremely naive. I do think that there are, a lot of coaches. Maybe not all. I'm not gonna go out and let me say, oh, we've got the best coaching or the best player development in the world or whatever. There's huge amounts of work that needs to go into that, and even pointing, there needs to be a massive overhaul of the way things are done with the development over here. But there are a lot of coaches over here who work tirelessly to develop good basketball players, and then obviously they've gone over to the States and some have gone to Europe and they've done well for themselves. So, so this kid is going to the States, and the differences between them going to the States and them staying here is the opportunity of playing every single day. Whether it be practice or competitive games. If I'm a kid, it's one of the biggest reasons why I left, is because, I got a decent amount of, being around London Towers at the time, but it wasn't enough. And in the time, on the few occasions that I did play for the Towers, it wasn't, for me, it wasn't a massive step up. And we're talking about when the BBL was at its highest, with like Manchester Giants, Birmingham Bullets, London Towers, Thames Valley. Like when almost every game was like a championship game, So to suggest that we can't bring some of those guys back, and I understand the whole thing about the money and so on and so forth. I'm not stupid. A lot of these kids, have to make the decision. Well, am I gonna come to the BBL and get maybe like 10 grand for the season, or if I'm going to go to Europe and sit on the bench and make, triple, quadruple that? And I can appreciate that. My argument to a lot of young players are, if you come back and spend a year or two in the BBL and hone your skills, your next contract may be for 100 grand, because you're playing, because people get to see you play all the time. And it's hard to be. It's hard for a university kid to try and explain to them, because they spend like the past 4 years or 6 years away, maybe in the States, without any money. As soon as you put a contract in front of them, regardless of whether it's a good situation or not, they're going to take it. Agents are going to push them towards the money because they get their percentage out of it. So it's one of those things where it is difficult. I'm not sitting here saying that it's easy. I can appreciate how difficult it can be and how challenging it can be to bring back some of those British players, especially the ones who are only concerned about getting the money right now instead of thinking about the larger picture down the road. So I'm not stupid. I'm not naive in regard to that. I do think that there are a lot of kids who are graduating who are British, coming out, and if they had the opportunity and they felt like they were going to get playing time, they would consider coming back for a couple a season or two to hone their skills. And I'm not. And it's why I would love for the league to have, to only maybe bring in two imports or what have you, to the point where they say, we can now we've established ourselves where we can decide whether we even want imports or not. That's what we should be working towards. So I feel like that, you need to start putting those things in place now, so 10 years down the road, you're not at the same spot now saying, I wish we had done this 10 years ago because we would have been further upfield.
Okay, and is it something that you think BBL teams could take on board themselves without the league having to sort of enforce it to try and create this homegrown talent?
I think, you know, at least from what I've seen, like, not every team, they're, Manchester has done a great job. They've based their team around local guys. I was really excited for James Jones, the way he developed. I mean, I've known him as a shooting guard all his life, and then he played for his dad, and they moved him to the point guard, which I actually thought that he'd struggle, and he's absolutely excelled. So, you know, and they've based their teams around British players. You know, London had, by and large, had British contingency. You know, Leicester, by and large, had a British contingency that are competitive. You know, obviously, you know, you've got some of the other teams who are in the league who are by and large British, but they're not competitive. So I think that, you know, but a lot of teams base their, the first people that they want to sign is imports. And it's funny because I always hear that, like, you know, a lot of coaches say, well, we go and get import because, you know, they're cheap and they're dime a dozen. And that's no disrespect to them, because they were, because essentially that is the truth, because there's a ton of imports who are looking for jobs. So if you go and offer them a contract, they're more than likely they're going to take it. So my question is, why if you're actually admitting that an import is a dime a dozen, why are they the first people that teams are always trying to sign? You know, would it make more sense to try and get a good British backbone and see if you can get some of the better British players out there to be maybe the core of your team? I mean, like, you know, Darius Defoe, I use as an example. When, like, we went to Newcastle together, and he was really, really raw. You know, he was athletic, but he didn't really understand how to play basketball. He played it through strength and through height. Now you see him 10 years down the road. Now he's for me, he's the best center in the league. You know,
yeah.
And you know, he can score. He can score on the block. You know, he's starting to. He can score going both ways, left or right. He developed his game to 15, 17 feet. Even this year, he's taken a couple of threes. So that's an example of a team making sure that one of their British players is signed year in, year out. Now, you can make the argument and say that the team isn't based around Darius. If you wanted to make the argument, you can say it's based around Cook, but Darius has been the guy who's been absolutely consistent for them year after year after year. For this season, he was their most consistent player. Maybe not their best, but he was the most consistent. He was the one who was making big, big plays. He was the one who came to play all the time. He was the one, you can see the pain on his face when they didn't play well. Not even if they lost, I'm talking about when they didn't play well. And he's a British kid, you know? In fairness to Newcastle, they stuck with Darius and they brought him back year after year after year. I don't see why that can't be, that's not something that can't be done through all British teams. So, and that's my opinion. If someone wants to argue it, I'm not going to argue my opinion because as is my opinion, if someone comes to me and says, no, you're wrong, well, how can you tell me that my opinion is wrong? I would never go back and tell someone you're wrong because of what you feel, what you think, you know?
Yeah. And if we were to implement that rule in the BBL, how difficult do you think it would be for teams sort of at the bottom of the league, say the guys like Surrey and Birmingham this year, to get the best British talent? Or do you think they're gonna struggle to attract British players?
Like, I mean, you know, let's put it this way, okay? You bring in, they brought in Americans, and what was their record? I think one team didn't win any games, the other won three games. Yeah. So did that American have any effect on their win percentage? You know, so you could go out and say, you know what, we're going to actually make an effort and find the best possible British player available. You know,
yeah.
It might Will it help their record? Maybe not. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to find a British player who's going to turn around and make them like a top four team. That's not what I'm suggesting. But you've gone out, you've given an opportunity to an import, and it hasn't helped you win, opposed to maybe giving an opportunity to a British player who might be of the same caliber. Like, you know, I mean, the kid at Birmingham, you know, and he was an exceptional scorer. You know, I don't think that, like, there's very few players of the past few years that I've seen who can score like him. He reminds me very much of Jeremy Bell. He's just a flat-out scorer. He can get a shot off on anyone. You know, he can score. But he didn't make the team better.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what, as my understanding of basketball, you want to bring people in who are going to help you better. Now, with that being said, if you can find an import who is better than a British player, then you should sign him if he's going to help your team become better. I'm all for that. I will, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that you should sign a British player or all costs. I think that's what a few people on Twitter yesterday didn't understand. You know, if I've got a choice out of a good import or a not so good local player or someone from Britain, then I'd be foolhardy not to sign the import if I'm trying to build a competitive team. My issue is when you bring in substandard imports and they're taking money as well as playing opportunities from pretty decent British players.
Yeah,
that's where it starts kind of getting like, well, why are we doing this? Because I played in the league when I was a kid, when I was 16, and in fairness, the imports there that came through at that time are far and away better than the imports that have come in like in the second time that I've been in the league. You know, and you know, people might say, well, the league back then had more money and you could get a better caliber player, and you know what, to an extent, I wouldn't argue that. But now you see a lot of imports coming in. And you're like, really? You're telling me that you can't find a British player that's as good as him? You know? It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know what the definition of cheap is, you know, like from GM's standpoint, you know, he's cheap so we will get him or whatever. It's like, well, if the guy's not helping you in, or he's not helping your team become better, and he's cheap, in actual fact, he's not cheap, he's very expensive because you're wasting money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what is cheap? It's cheap. It's cheap if he comes in and he's averaging 20 and 10, and you've got him for like £500 a month. That's super cheap.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't help you win, if he doesn't help your team become better, and you spend £500 a month on this player, that's expensive, because that's money that could go somewhere else. You know.
Yeah.
So that's where lies my argument. You know, before we go out and just say, oh, he's an import and we're going to bring him in, take a look at, just, you know, from a GM standpoint, from a coach's standpoint, just see if there is someone who might be better than that kid available who is British. That's what I ask. That's the only thing that I would put forward, because, you know, at some point in time, like, and I understand that, you know, someone said to me, well, if you go to that format, there may be like the league will suffer. Well, you know what? They do it in the German football league, where the league dips for a year or two. And you look at the Bundesliga now. From football, just end up talking about from a football standpoint. You know, let's not even go into the basketball. You know what I mean? Like, and people can talk about money or what have you. Like, you know. In the Bundesliga, they play far less than most European leagues, you know. And I think one of the things that us as a basketball community, especially over here, we're very, very close-minded with regards to concepts from like other sports. Like, the lessons are out there; we just gotta go and have a look, you know. You know, know, why do we have to think that the only way that you can do things right is by doing it from like what Barcelona has done in the past or what have you? You know, I think John Amici made an argument a while back when he was talking about like how cycling revolution like revolutionized their position and how they broke things down and changed things and what have you. And he was suggesting that from a Barcelona standpoint, there's a lot for us to learn from that. You know, and you know, someone might turn around and say, "Well, you know, you're using a football analogy. Well, we haven't got the same kind of money as that." You know, I'm not talking about from a financial standpoint. I'm talking about the concept of making sure that our players are in a position to succeed as best as possible. That's the concept that I'm taking from, like, you know, using the Bundesliga as an analogy.
Yeah. Okay. And if you were to pick a starting five from last season's players that were British players in the BBL, who would you go for?
I'd say Darius Defoe. David Aliou. Murray.
And just in terms of British basketball as a whole, how big is this summer for the GB national squads, both men and women?
It's the same as every summer. You know, I mean, like, obviously everyone wants to try and make it seem like it's a bigger summer than whatever every other summer has been because of obviously the funding situation or whatever. But you know, like from a player standpoint, you know, whether you play for the men's or the women's, nothing's changed. We still got to qualify. You know, that we're not going out there thinking to ourselves, well, if we don't qualify, this is going to mean this for funding or whatever. That's not our job. From a player standpoint, our job hasn't changed in the slightest. Now it's to go out there and play at a high level and to qualify. So with regards to how important it is, it's as important as any other summer.
Okay, and in terms of the national program, what will your involvement be? Are you looking to be involved this summer?
Yes, you know, I plan on being there this summer and being, you know, to be there or to be involved as much as Coach Pony wants me to be. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of guys who weren't there last summer who are committed to being here this summer, and I understand that would mean my role will be lessened, and obviously with like the emergence of like Devon and Miles, you know, especially for, like coming in for last summer, because obviously we knew about Andrew Lawrence and some of the other guys. So I expect my role to be less, but I just hope that, you know, I'm able to, you know, play and give Coach good minutes whenever he needs me. You know, I'm not going in there with an expectation of starting, even though I will compete as if I want to start. Because because you understand your role doesn't mean that you can't compete as a starter, even though you know your role is going to be coming off the bench. And you know, I think that's one thing that's always kept me in good stead is that I go in there and I compete all the time, and I'll do that the same this summer. And when coach needs me to give, you know, whoever a blow, whether it be guys at the three or three, the two, the four, and obviously move to the two or what have you, then I'll be ready to do that. So
okay, and the younger guys like Devon Vanderstrom and Miles Hessen, even Ali Fraser, who played last year as well. For guys like that who haven't played in the BBL, do you think it's something that they would look to come back on, or do you think that you've sort of missed the opportunity with those guys and that you'll have to start with the next sort of generation?
Well, Miles has played in the BBL. He played for Essex Pirates and he played for Mersey and then he moved to Europe. But, and then obviously Devon, as far as I understand it, he's probably going to be putting his name in the draft. So obviously, you're not going to expect him to be coming back. But, I think that, until you can make like a proper living out of being in the BBL, which at this moment in time you can't, you're not going to be able to keep those guys for more than a couple of years. But what I'm trying to say is that, if you can get them when they're coming out of college, university, and, and they're still kind of green behind the gills, and their agent is simply trying to get them to a team where they're going to get paid lots of money, but they're going to sit on the bench for the whole season. It might be worthwhile. And this is where these young players have to be quite strong in their personalities and say, well, you know what, I appreciate that I'm going to probably get a lot of money. I've just spent, the last 4 years eating, ramen noodles and stuff like that. Yeah. Now I've got money to go out to whatever restaurant I want. It does become exciting. And sometimes you do forget about the fact that, you're going here, but odds are you're not going to play. Coming back home and playing a year or two, and just to work in your trade is a good option. The only thing is obviously a lot of GMs and coaches don't try and go for people like that ilk because they don't want to get turned down because they think, oh well, he won't come back. It's like, well, how do you know unless you ask the question? It's better for me to ask the question and get turned down. At least I know definitively, okay, fair enough, you're not going to come back, than sit there and say, the kids on one hand saying, well, I wouldn't mind going back and being able to work on my game, for a year or two, playing competitively, playing 25, 30, 35 minutes a game, and being ready to compete in Europe. But nobody ever asked me, So I think sometimes it's worth just asking the question sometimes.
Okay, and there's been suggestions as well that the BBL should sort of link up with a kind of playoff system between the BBL and the first division in the EBL. Do you think that could work in terms of developing talent and creating more competition?
Let's be honest. I know this is not going to go down well, but in terms of having a look at players who are playing in the EBL, it doesn't happen very much from BBL coaches in this country, and that's just the honest truth. I'm sure I'm going to piss people off, but it is what it is. There's a good amount of players who are down there who compete and who could play in the BBL, but because obviously these games aren't always readily available, and they're not on TV, and again coaches don't do a very good job of scouting at the EBL level. A lot of these players go by the wayside, and you never really hear about them or have you. So I guess having an opportunity where you're playing if the cup or the trophy or whatever it may be is between the BBL and the EBL, and the EBL much more integrated with that system, then I think it would be a good thing because there might be a kid who plays against let's say for instance Leicester, and he puts up a really big game, and then you're just like, Jesus, I didn't even hear about this kid, he might be actually someone that we might consider signing next year because he's playing against one of the better teams in the league. He's competed, he's played well. It's like it might be really worthwhile speaking with him at the end of the season.
Thanks for your time today and covering that issue. And good luck with the sort of GB stuff this summer. And we'll hopefully catch you down in London for the qualifiers.
Okay.
Talking Hoops from Coast to Coast.
Plenty of interesting discussion and opinions there from Drew Sullivan this morning on how to develop the BBL and help develop homegrown talent. If you'd like to join in the discussion, you can get involved on Twitter at Tub Podcast, or you can like us on Facebook, The Undersized Basketball Podcast. Look forward to hearing what you guys think on what Drew's had to say this morning.
Talking Hoops from Coast to Coast.